Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Take the short drive to Genesee County in Batavia Downs for the Rockin' the Downs Concert Series when we welcome legendary Motown artist The Spinners Friday, June 26th. Get tickets at BataviaConcerts.com. Hear songs like The Rubber Band Man, Working My Way Back to You, I'll Be Around, and many more. Tickets start at just $20 and include $10 in free play. Be sure to get them now at BataviaConcerts.com.
Batavia down with more, lots more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to part two of a song by a guy named Beck from an album that I don't remember the name of. It's part two, Grey's Academy. I'm Carmen, she's Kelsey. Grey's Academy. If you haven't heard it yet, Grey's Academy. And
Are you okay?
Take a moment, go hit that like, subscribe, five-star review button wherever you listen. If you have not told someone today about Grey's Academy, tell them about Grey's Academy. Send them that link. Send it to them. Put on your stories, your Instagram stories, your Facebook stories. Take that Spotify link and post it. Share it. Do the things. Send Kelsey an email at graysacademypod@gmail.com so that we can talk to you and we could all laugh and be happy together and just have joyous conversation via the interwebs. And also, I think that's all I got. I was going to share a story. I have another story or a question for you later, I think.
Okay. Okay, well, I think now that Carmen's done with his ramble, we can start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
We have two people.
All right, two people. The seizure girl and her friend.
Her friend.
Dang. All right. The deaf mom.
No.
The non-deaf dad.
No.
The guy who was getting bypass surgery.
The Meredith and Weber's patient?
Yes.
Yes.
Yay! Got it there. All right.
Yeah. When Weber's like, this is when you offer to stay. And she's like, no. I have plans. And he's like, but all-nighters are great and they make you remember medicine. And she's like, yeah, I know. I just did one last week.
Yeah. That's a very funny kind of moment where he's like, it'll challenge you and it's gonna bring you so much joy when you look back on it. And he's like, and she's like, yeah, yeah, I fucking know, dude.
Yeah,
dude,
she's all the time. Like, actually, I just did that, so I'm good. Okay, so Amy Okuda is Chelsea, which is the friend that tells Derek off. And she was in 11 episodes of How to Get Away with Murder.
Wow, how do I not remember that person?
Do you remember the second season? And it's like the step-siblings.
Oh, yeah.
And their parents were murdered.
Yeah.
She's the girl.
Wow.
That's the step-sibling. Oh no, they weren't step siblings. They were adopted siblings.
I think I knew what you meant deep down in my brain.
And then Edward James Gage plays Adam, and he was in one episode of Scandal.
All right.
And that's Shondaland this week.
I love it. I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. If you could pick one chocolate based candy and one sugar based candy that you get for the rest of your life, let's assume you'll never get tired of it. Just pick one for the rest of your life. What are you picking?
Well, I like gummies. Do I have to pick a specific gummy?
Yep. You can't just get to say the word gummy.
Probably gummy worms.
Sour or regular?
See, this is where I'm debating. Because I do feel like there's a wider variety of regular. Okay, you know what? Nerds clusters
good,
is the answer.
Good choice. Good choice.
For that. Now, chocolate, I'm having a harder time. I do love a Butterfinger, and I do think that's a hot take.
Mm.
I eat Butterfingers a lot. Jessica told me it was dramatic for her how much I eat Butterfingers.
That's hilarious.
I think Butterfingers, I was concerned that they stopped making them because they're not in a lot of stores. Like in the front little, like in the candy section at the checkout, which is good for me because I do buy them when I see them. But like they're not, they're only at Publix. Like they're not at, they're not in my Target checkout. They're not in my Food City checkout. They're not in my Walmart checkout. They're like only ever at Publix.
Huh. Interesting.
So I do like the Butterfingers. So that might, but I also love a Hershey's with an almond. Mm-hmm. A Hershey's Kiss with an almond. I think it's a good ratio. But I also like the Hershey's bar with the almond. So who's to say what's your answer?
So to be clear, your answer is gummy worms.
No, no. Nerds clusters.
Nerds clusters. Sorry. Maybe. And then Butterfingers.
I think yes.
Okay. So for me, my sugary fruit-based candy is original Skittles. And man, I was so confident in this answer, so resolute in this chocolate-based answer. But since I said it at work the other day, because this was a question that one of my teammates at work had posed to a group. It was a huddle topic. And I said Reese's. And I said this is an easy choice. But you know what came out as, like, as people were talking? I was like, oh, well, fuck. Like, man, this is hard. Is the cookies and cream Hershey's.
I do love those.
And then, you know, the other thing that came out that, like, made me second guess Skittles is Sour Patch Watermelon. So I'm like,
see, I love Sour Patch Kids, but I think the reason I was thinking more generic gummies initially is because there's just more variety. Because I love Sour Patch Kids, but, like, that's it.
Yeah.
There's just, like, the five of them.
Yeah.
Because the tropical ones are bad. They're not good.
Well, and then someone said at one point, I want to do Sour Patch Kids, but only blue. And I was like, fuck, that's a good answer,
why
too.
Why would you limit yourself more?
Because the blue is the best one.
Well,
that's like saying Starburst and then saying only the pink one because the pink one is the best.
But sometimes, like, you want to eat a pink and a red together.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I see your point. You don't have to limit yourself, but then someone tried to tell me that Skittles all are the same flavor, and I'm like, I don't.
Well, that's insane.
Yeah,
like, that's actually insane behavior.
Yeah,
what a stupid thing to think.
I'm like, look at it. Literally
is that
says the flavor.
A doctor, because they're very dumb.
Unfortunately, that was a doctor.
That's a very dumb person.
Ironically, not a doctor from my hospital.
Well, that's fucking good for your hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, the flavors are listed on the back. I don't know what to tell you. So, yeah, I think I'm sticking with
that
Reese's.
I have to tell, and I don't know that I'm allowed to tell it, but I feel I will keep it somewhat anonymous, and then I will probably be told by this person that it's fine.
Oh.
Someone we know went to a doctor for a sleep-related ailment.
Chlamydia.
Sleep-related query, as it were. And that doctor was like, you should read the Bible more. And I lost my damn mind when this story was told to me. And I could not get over it. And I was like, this is insane. So I did call my dad. And I was like, tell me if I'm overreacting, if this is, like, acceptable, or if this is super fucked up. And I told him, and he was like, that's batshit insane. That is crazy unethical. That is absolute. There's no way any administrator in that hospital knows that's happening. And that person, like, needs to contact, like, some higher up at the hospital to, like, notify them.
Hmm.
And that did occur. And they were reached out to. And it the person who reached out to them was like very grateful that they had told them that this happened, because all the things my father's reaction was correct. It was not acceptable behavior.
Wow. Can you give me the name and social security number of the person who this is related to?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
That is so crazy, especially like knowing that their social security number ends in
right? Isn't that wild?
Because I would have guessed that, actually.
Yeah. Anyways, it's frustrating to deal with doctors who are dismissive in like a rude way, but then it's like also there's other ways doctors can be dismissive and weird, and that's one of them. And it can be intimidating to be like, oh, I have to advocate for myself. If you don't feel like you can like stand up and talk to a doctor, you can always like reach out. They have office managers, they have different, like they have service expectations that they are meant to meet. And there are people whose jobs like are designated like to fulfill that role. So just always remember that it is hard. And that's valid. And there are other ways that you can, you know, like take care of yourself in that realm.
That is, that's what a fun story.
I genuinely like could not stop thinking. It was like a week later that I like called my dad, because I was like, this, I cannot stop thinking about this. This is insane.
I also think it's insane, and I will be texting you later to ask who it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually, I'll just text you now.
We're busy right now. I'm busy. I can't answer your text. I'm very busy.
I just texted you. Who was it?
Okay. All right. So
stories. Where are we at with this?
Let's talk about Callie in Arizona. Again, communication. This is another one where they were both making assumptions on behalf of the other person. And it ended up fine. Like, it was obviously not at the same level of like the other storylines.
They really made you think it was going to be a big fucking problem.
Yeah.
Like, there was immediate tension with Callie in Arizona.
Yeah. Well, and also at the very beginning, they're like, if we don't go on a date, we'll get divorced. I was like, oh my God.
That's how I feel right now, too.
It's like very hostile.
We just watched, we've been on a Bluey kick. And one, the episode about heaven came on tonight. And I was like, oh shit, this episode. But also, there was an episode where Chili and Bandit, they like take the kids to Nana's house and they're like, we need a date together. And I was like, man, that'd be nice.
You could do that if you lived in this house right next door.
You're not wrong.
I know.
I see what you're saying.
So then I fucking love Bluey. What am I talking about? Oh yeah. Callie in Arizona. It makes it seem like it's going to be this really, you know, big, hostile, terrible thing. And then ultimately it ends up being okay. For whatever reason, Arizona, I think she just wanted to be thought of and considered, which is valid. But she gets like super mad when Callie just makes the assumption of like, oh, I'll just carry the baby. And Arizona's like, well, we didn't really talk about that. Like, why do you get to carry the baby? Maybe I want to carry the baby. And Callie's like, well, I just thought that you wouldn't want to, which you shouldn't assume, but she is right. But it's like Arizona, I'm like, did Arizona know it? Or was it truly in that coin flip moment that the coin flip made her realize she didn't want to do it?
I love that whole theory or that test of do the coin flip. And if you hate the result, your answer.
Well, you'll know in the air, you'll know which way you want it to land. And Derek used to do that. Like, he did it with Lexi. He's like, this coin flip is a gut check, and like it tells me whether or not I like want to do this.
See, I feel like if I do a coin flip, I know when the answer is shown.
Interesting.
I don't feel it in the air. Like, if you're said A or B and I'm like, oh, I don't know, flip the coin, and then it lands on A and I'm like, ah, damn it, I really wanted B. That's when I'm like, oh, okay, so B is the answer. Just do it. But I need there to be a resolution in the universe before I can decide if I'm upset about it or not.
You need to know what the coin wants.
Yeah. And it's like 50-50 of, do I agree with the coin or do I not agree with the coin?
I don't do a lot of coin flips.
Yeah. I want to get one of those weighted coins.
I want to get one of those cheating coins.
I want to get one of those Harvey Dent coins while I'm at it, too.
Mm. Heads and heads?
No.
Tails
heads,
and tails.
Heads and death.
Mm, heads and butts.
Mm, heads and butts. Heads in butts.
Do you remember in Friends when Chandler and Joey are going to flip a coin for something? And Chandler's like, which is ducks and which is clowns? And Joey goes, heads is ducks because ducks have heads. And Chandler says, what kind of messed up clowns came to your birthday party?
I don't remember that.
Mm, good stuff.
Goodness. All right. So yeah, Cali and Arizona, they talk about it. Everything's fine. They have babies in their beds or babies in their house. And they save the day for Derek and Meredith. And they decide
and
that they're
going to Callie's going to carry the baby, and she's very excited about that. And like, I simply am baffled by the concept of someone in like loving being pregnant, which granted I'll say, like, to me, it does make a little more sense for Callie that she would essentially want like a quote unquote, like redemption, because her first pregnancy ended with such a trauma as far as her birth and like the car crash and the musical episode.
Oh yeah. 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 And we had to listen to Owen sing, you know,
so bad. I hate him so much, you guys. What a terrible, terrible man. And yeah, so it does kind of make sense to me that she would want to do it again and kind of get that like second chance of having that. But it also like potentially makes sense that Arizona would maybe want to try again. But it also makes sense to me that Arizona wouldn't want to try again, because like she's experienced that loss, and that can also be very traumatic in a different way. And there's just like a lot of pressure associated with it. And, you know, it's just a lot. I honestly understand. I think the complexities of that storyline and them deciding who would do it make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But they have
totally.
To pick, they have to pick sperm again because, you know, Mark's not there. So.
Yeah.
And they already picked sperm once. They have to do it again. That's got to be difficult.
Yeah. Any amount of picking sperm is probably unfortunate
and expensive.
Yeah, I'm gonna sell my sperm.
Well, you could, but then you'd have kids.
I already do.
Other than your kids.
Yeah.
You don't think that's weird?
No, it is. But depends on how much they give me.
I do mean this disrespectfully, but I don't think it's going to be very much.
Hmm. Interesting.
Now, I have seen
that
you can sell,
degree.
Like, a full testicle for, like, a lot of money.
I'd sell a testicle.
For how much?
I mean, how much do you think is... What have you read?
It's less than a million.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're going to say $2 million.
No. I think I'd sell a testicle for $50,000.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I do wonder how much eggs are going for these days.
Well, let's do a quick Google search. I wonder if eggs were just expensive for chickens, or if that inflation went to human eggs too.
All the eggs. Yeah.
Can you sell a testicle?
I'm definitely not going to Google
it. It is strictly illegal to sell a testicle.
No, I think there was some kind of like scientific research study where they were offering compensation if you don't quote unquote donated your testicle to science, but it wasn't donated because they were paying for it.
Let's see. Can
it's
you
like
get
when
paid?
People say like, oh, I'm gonna donate plasma, but you get paid for it, so you're selling it. I don't
Got
understand
it. Okay, so no, you cannot get paid to donate a testicle to science under the National Organ Transplant Act, or NOTA, in the United States. It is illegal to buy or sell human organs. The idea that a single testicle can be sold to a university or research lab for $35,000 or more is a widely circulated internet myth, and no such financial program exists.
Interesting. But eggs.
Let's see. Can you sell female human eggs? No, you cannot legally sell human eggs as a trading. It's, again, you can donate your eggs and receive financial compensation for your time, effort, and physical commitment. The standard pay, donors typically earn between $5,000 and $10,000 per retrieval cycle.
Interesting. But you have to do all those, like, shots and everything before the retrievals, too. So it's not like, oh, I'll just casually walk in and do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a big commitment.
You have to be between 21 and 31 years old.
I have aged out.
Mm.
No one wants my old lady eggs anymore. I'm geriatric.
How much can you donate sperm for? No, don't look at my location, Google.
They're coming for your sperm. We'll
start getting it.
Get a chastity belt.
Sperm donors can typically earn $35 to $150 per approved sample. But
approved sample? What do you have to do to get approval?
Well, I mean, you have to be like, you have to probably have like a background check and health check. And apparently it's recommended to be above the height of 5'7 or 5'8 to be even wanted by client demand. So yeah, interesting.
Don't sell your sperm. You specifically, not people do whatever you want. Carmen, you don't.
Well, then I need people to convince me to not sell my sperm by buying me Pokemon cards.
Don't, you need to get it together.
Oh, I've got it together.
You need to seek more therapy.
I need people to just gift me Pokemon cards.
You don't need that.
There's a set that's coming out this Friday, so if you happen to be out at Target.
Every time I'm there and I send you things, you shoot me down.
No.
Yes. Okay, oh. This is so off topic. Okay, right. What are we talking about? Cali, Arizona. Anatomy. Is there anything else with that? They're fine.
No, yeah, they're fine.
They have the kids, and they are great. Yeah. They're going to get pregnant again.
Yeah. And then we have... Brayden is not doing well.
Nope. But Bailey is washing that HIV.
Love a good washed HIV. Yeah.
And Ben is like, woman, go home and sleep. I'm so tired. Please sleep for the both of us. And ultimately she does. She takes this advice.
Yeah, she goes home and... she's like, yo, I'm going to make you some French toast and I'm going to cook breakfast. And he's like, mm-hmm. Great, amazing. And then, yeah, he doesn't get to do it. He doesn't get to go home and, you know, they go into the surgery. He falls asleep. She thinks he pulled an all-nighter.
And he's like, oh, I took a power nap.
She calls him Superman. Deceptive.
Misleading.
Hmm. The heart kids are also not having a good time.
Yeah. What's, well, I'd ask you what you think might happen, but.
Well, whatever ended up happening, I did not think was going to be what happens.
When you were watching the episode, did you write down what you thought would happen?
I was hoping before any kids died, they'd figure out what the problem was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now an episode ahead. No one still knows what the problem is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This one ended with Frankie, like, passed out, missing. First of all, missing. And then, like, passed out in the hall.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a lot. We got to lock in because I just realized we have so much to talk about. Okay, so Christina's trying to leave to go to the Harper Avery Awards by herself. And, McNeil adults start to like fucking lose their mind, which honestly, I think this is just like a horrible situation and no one's going to be the best versions of themselves. And there's just so much hostility and like anger at the world that they're going to take it out on each other. And unfortunately, that does happen. It just, like, all comes to a head. It's, like, been building. Their kids are all sick. They don't know what's going on. they are upset that they're living in a hospital. They're quarreling and it just builds and they kind of explode at each other. And Christina tells the dad to get out. And he does. And then he falls asleep and all hell breaks loose. I just think that that is a situation where I'm like, not one person is at fault, because that is just the universe handing them 800 bad
bags of shit.
Yeah, like at the same time, and they're like doing their best, and at a certain point it's you're going to break. And so I think Christina handles it as best she can, but as to like just separate them and still kind of like help. She can't write her speech because Meredith has to pull an all-nighter, so they can't go drinking. She can't leave to go to the awards because Ivy starts rejecting her heart. And then Frankie is missing. Link is doing okay.
Yeah, Link is like not... No one really cares about Link. Frankie and Ivy are the main storylines. He's not doing terrible,
yeah. So, yeah. It's brutal. Anyways, so Brayden is... He's got his little toy thingy running around. Alex is secretly working both places, kind of. And he's also very tired. Because he's working for Dr. Butthole, but also working at the hospital.
Yeah, secret agent or whatever it is that...
yeah, double agent.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they find Frankie passed out. That's bad. Christina, everyone is... Well, Owen is bothering me. Because Christina's like, I'm just going to go alone. And they're like, no, we want to come with you. Let me come with you. And Owen doesn't even know that Christina wants tequila, which is offensive. Because obviously she wants tequila. He's yeah, so dumb.
Makes sense.
She writes the speech. They're doing well. But then, yeah, she just can't. It's a lot of back and forth with the flights because of the McNeils. She doesn't really know what to do. And they're like, no, you got to go. We can handle it. And she's like, no, I can't leave. It's really bad. And ultimately, it medium works out. Obviously, Frankie is unwell, but they do find the dad at least.
Yeah, he's, what do you say? I fell asleep in the parking lot and
he was literally, he was in the car and his phone turned off and he was like asleep in the parking lot, which yeah, I believe that as someone who is chronically very tired.
Didn't Derek also do that? Didn't he go to the supermarket to get milk and then fall asleep in the parking lot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Less forgivable. I'm just kidding. It is relatable. Especially in that newborn stage. Some crazy levels of exhaustion.
Yeah.
But yeah, so bad news for Frankie, bad news for Ivy. Bad news for Christina, really. She's trying to leave. She keeps trying to leave. Owen keeps trying to go with her. She's like, please, you have so much stuff to do. And now I can. Ultimately, she doesn't even want to leave because she doesn't know what's going on with the McNeils and she feels really bad about that. But they're like, no, we got it. You can go. So she does go. And let's talk about what happens at the awards. Well, first of all, very cute. She calls Meredith and she's like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. And I forgot to wear deodorant and I wish you guys had come. And like, Meredith's like, are you at the table yet? Like, where are you? And she's like, never mind, I'm fine. And she goes in and Meredith and Owen are there, which I do love.
I do love that.
I mean, I do hate that Owen's there and I hate that they smooch when she gets in the cab. Like, stop it. Can you stop it?
No, I think it's still over cute. It. I think it's still cute.
You think it's cute that they're still smooching?
Yeah, you know, like, it just... I just love love at the end of the day, and I just...
No,
I want,
Carmen. No, we are done with this.
No, they're so...
Are you unwell?
They're not going to have kids. What has happened to you? They're not going to have kids. Let's just... Everyone, let's just get out off their backs and just, like, let it happen, you know?
No.
Let's stop trying to be... anti-Owen and Christina and just let the world do its thing.
No, 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 no. Why are you pivoting?
I'm not. I'm just messing with you.
Anyways, but I did like that they went. Yeah. And they really make you think that she's going to win. Because when she gets there, all the other people nominated are like, oh my God, I'm so excited to meet you and talk about your work and like hear about your research. Like, this is crazy. How incredible, blah, 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 all this stuff. So you're like, really, I mean, you thought she was going to win, right?
Yeah, I thought she was going to win.
They really make you think, here it comes. She's going to win a Harper Avery. And then she doesn't. And that's how the episode ends, is with her not winning.
I also thought the episode was going to end with, and the Harper Avery Award goes to, and then it was going to cut to black, and it was going to like make us wait an episode. I'm glad they didn't, because the payoff was not what we had hoped for, obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's that's a bummer. That is a bummer.
Now, obviously, because of the kerfuffle, you have a little more insight on what happened. But at the moment where they didn't call her name, what were your thoughts?
I don't think I had a, let me see if I put any kind of note down, because I don't remember a thought off the top of my head of, my note exactly is this. Because like leading up to this, there's like, everyone's kind of swarming her and Catherine gives her a nod. And I think I wrote here, Catherine gives her a nod. Is she going to win? Question mark, exclamation point, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
She forgot to put on deodorant. And they have the cover of Everybody Wants to Rule the World playing in the background.
Yes. Another good episode for covers.
Yeah. I've been trying to make note of when I'm hearing these covers.
Yeah.
In my notes here. So, and then Meredith Christina, they show up. It's amazing. It's so great. OMG, this is my note now. OMG, wow, my heart is melting. Catherine is giving the introduction. And then all caps, Christina didn't win it. What the fuck?
Yeah.
So I don't know why. I don't have a reason why. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. It makes sense now knowing the context. Yeah, it makes sense. But it's all pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
And I feel bad.
It was a good like bait and switch from a writing perspective, for sure. Yeah. Because they really like sell it to you. They're like, no, she for sure. Like, who else would it be? Like, everyone's so obsessed with this project. She's brilliant. Like, she is exactly who they have built this character up to be for the past 10
seasons.
She's
our Christina. And it's nice foreshadowing, because Burke won a Harper Avery and she did all the work for his work, you know? Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of, you know, lead up to it. So
yeah.
Kind of crazy. Kind of crazy.
Okay, so the songs, the cover songs in this episode were Holiday, originally by Madonna.
Mm.
Something About You, originally by Level 42, and Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic, originally by
The
Police.
Yep, I do have that note. Yep.
And then Everybody Wants to Rule the World, originally by Tears for Fears. Every little thing she does is magic.
So at that point, with the Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic is in the background where she says she pities him. Mm-hmm. Like, also, what really pissed me off about that scene specifically is Jackson and her were fighting, but she makes it a big deal. She prolongs the fight. She throws the dagger and then says she pities him and then is like, well, I guess we should go to bed. Like, no, you don't get to drop the fucking bomb.
Well,
and
also
then,
because earlier he was like, can we not talk about this right now? And
yeah,
she's like, no, we're gonna. And then she says something super hateful and she's like, night.
Yeah.
Damn, girl.
Typical woman in an argument.
Oh, no. Dominates women.
That was me.
I
baited you on that one. That was very easy to get exactly what I wanted out of that.
Okay. Real quick. Capitalism?
Yeah, let's do a capitalism.
Okay. Did you have anything else to add about the episode in general before we rate it and you don't predict anything because you already know what happens?
Yeah, so there's also the back and forth that Alex and Joe have all episode of, yeah, like, I don't know if I should take the Dr. Butthole job. And Joe's like, well, just take the Dr. Butthole job. Like, do the thing. It's so cute. You could be a double agent. Like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Ha ha. And then
unhealthy, not sustainable.
Yeah. Let's see. Brayden, the stuff is very minimal here.
Was it this episode where Christina and Meredith and Alex were all in an OR together?
Yes.
That was really cute. I really liked that moment.
Yeah. Alex says something to the effect of, I thought I'd read about you winning the Harper Avery in a paper, not doing a surgery with you the night before you won it. It's so cute. And then they're like, when was the last time we pulled an all-nighter together? And then Alex tells them that the private practice is interested in him. And he says, I'm killing it 24 hours a day and I can't tell anyone. And they're like, is that the butthole guy? And they're like, yeah. And then Alex says he needs a ton of money because he doesn't come from a rich family and he's never going to win a Harper Avery. And Christina says, yeah, Meredith might. And then Meredith goes, might? Screw you. And it's just a cute scene.
It's very like our core people.
We get our Mac.
Being our core people.
Our Mac on.
Yeah. I really like that scene a lot. And I like it when they acknowledge it. They're like, when was the last time we have like done this? Like, I mean, when was the last time the three of them were even in an OR together? Like a long time.
Yeah.
So it's just fun to see. Just like fun. And they just like, look how far we've come. It's been 10 years. Crazy.
It's been 10 whole ass years.
It's been 10 seasons. It has not been 10 years, but whatever. Gray's time is time. But
10 human years.
Yeah. They are precious, and I love them, and we love growth, we love character arcs, we love it so much.
There's also, we cannot forget, I had to go back and look at the opening of the notes here, but when Meredith says that she can't go out with Christina, Christina's like, tomorrow everything changes, and I won't have time for you, and blah, blah, blah. But then she goes to Alex, and she's like, to Alex, it's your lucky night, because I want to go drinking with you. And Alex is like, no, I can't. And then she goes to April and says, April, never mind. Yeah.
Very funny.
That was very funny.
Excellent delivery.
Yeah, bait and switch with the dog bite girl. We didn't get a ton of circle back on that.
Nope.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah. Okay, let's ask the Discord questions because I did forget last time, but I do have them now. I shan't forget right in this moment. Okay. Right before you announced it, did you think she would win, yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought she was going to win.
Do you think April and Jackson are ready to get married?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
These questions are so easy.
Very curious on Carmen's thoughts about the discussion regarding hearing impairments in children and corrective surgery. And then, yeah, I just think we kind of talked on that, but it was like, I just don't think it was like super judgmental. Like, I think I understand why the parents took it that way, but ultimately I think he was respectful when they explained their reasoning.
I would also add from my personal perspective, if we did have a situation where Jess's hearing loss was genetic and all of a sudden Marlo couldn't hear, I think the difference for us is the hearing loss occurred, so Marlo knows what life is like, as opposed to
being born
with it and then all of a sudden gaining that that sense. And I would also I think about like our unborn child, if that child was born deaf and going through that, I think I'd want to explore the medicine available to me to correct that. And then if that didn't work, we'd have to change our lives and we'd have to learn sign language, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you can do both, like, right? You can explore the medicine and like the cochlear implants, and you can also find like other parents who have gone through that same thing and like find support in that community. It doesn't have to be completely one way or the other. Again, a common ground.
I also don't think that there's any judgment. Like, it's just it's okay.
I mean, the when he was talking to April about it, he was obviously being judgmental. When he was in that moment, I thought he was being respectful to the people.
Yeah, I don't think Jackson's judgment was about being deaf. It was more along withholding medicine that could assist your child. But that's when it got into the whole conversation where she's like, they see it as a blessing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what sparked more, fire.
Okay. First, a bit of a silly one. How does Owen dare think he knows and loves Christina at all if he can't even get her liquor of choice right? This is what I am saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think it was fair, for April to instantly feel dismissed by Jackson before they have an actual conversation? No.
No, I feel like absolutely
she had
not.
Again decided how he thought before she had given him the chance.
Which is never fair.
And it does say, it feels to me like the writing on this situation is rushed or lacks substance of a real conflict. It was too surface level for me. Well, I kind of disagree with that because I have been on both sides of the situation where the other person assumes what you're going to say and or I have assumed what the other person was going to say or feel. And it's oftentimes unfair and incorrect. So I don't think that it's like, from a writing standpoint, I feel like it is believable. It's frustrating to watch and you're like, everybody settle down. Like, why is this escalating so quickly? But it at the same time, like, is real in that way.
Yeah, I think there's a whole trope of, you know, people, they have the answer in their head already and they've already built the argument up so they know what they're going to say. And then the person doesn't say it and then it becomes a whole other big rigmarole. So I just let people speak, try to understand the other person's side, and like also you're married to that person, so maybe you don't assume the worst possible intent there.
Yeah. Why didn't Derek find someone else to watch the kids? April and Jackson were obviously not busy. He loves to ruin the nights of all the women around him.
Yeah. I don't know. He just went with the easy choice and just...
Well, I think also it is like Callie did live with him for a while, so there is probably a level of comfort there, but it is sad because they were going to go on a date.
And they're probably going to smush.
Yeah.
Which, like, everyone needs.
How do you think Christina will handle not winning the Harper Avery?
I don't think I can answer that question.
Yeah, I feel like you cannot. This one you cannot answer fairly, but we can see if you remember where your head was at. Will all three heart failure children survive? I do think you said you thought they were all going to live.
Yeah, my thought was that they were going to find in the 11th hour what was causing them to be sick.
Yeah. How long will April stay with Callie in Arizona? Will she and Jackson get back together, or is this too much to overcome? You did say you thought they were going to break up before the other thing.
I guess I don't think they'll break up anymore, so I can't make that prediction. That's not an official prediction. But I mean, it's going to be hard to overcome. I really need to see where this story goes. Because right now it makes no damn sense.
How did no one wake Ben up while he was sleeping in the hallway? Sorry, I'm about to be asleep in the hallway.
They probably tried. I feel like when you're that out, you're just out.
Sometimes, yeah. Will Bailey's plan to use deactivated HIV work?
Well, technically, she has not injected it yet to this point where I'm at. I think it's going to work. I think it is going to work.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we have.
Let's rate it.
I think it's a 3.
3-4. 3-4 for me.
3-4.
It's fine.
Yeah.
The conflict was interesting.
There was a lot of relatability to it, but it was also really frustrating to watch. But I think because it was relatable is why it's frustrating. It's also, they did it like across the board. There's so much. It's like all, it's truly just all about communication and like people not communicating or dumb. Like if you just would communicate a tiny bit differently, there would be no Not a single issue. I am so sorry.
It's okay. We're almost there.
I'm going to say 3.2, actually. I just think, like, it's just a real part of relationships, right? Like, all the conflicts is relatable. The way it's handled is relatable because it's not well. And not everyone handles everything well every single time. So it's just... it's interesting when they give these characters that have these, like, you know, at this point in their career, everyone's doing really well. They're successful. Everything's going great. But it's like, but don't worry, our personal lives are still crumbling.
Yeah. I think for me, this episode had a chance to be a 5. All of it hinged on Christina winning the Harper Avery, and she didn't. So I don't think that I can go more than a 3.4 for this episode for that reason alone. But yeah, it's a lot of kind of the lead up. It's a lot of kind of the build of what's going to happen. There's these patients now. We've got these both sets of the Braden and the three heart kids for all. They get a long arc. These kids get a lot of star time, screen time for their sickness. So it's just interesting. And, you know, obviously we know it. I know what happens next. But yeah, it's just a fine episode. It's just fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that might be it. Do we have anything else?
I can't make predictions, so unfortunately, no.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Next week, I'll make sure Carmen doesn't watch the next one, and we'll just record.
I might actually have to try to, like, watch this episode again so that I can fully remember everything. Although I did take good notes. I typed them, so I have a lot of notes.
Ooh, that's nice. I do like to type it out on the computer or sometimes the iPad with a little keyboard. I'm like writing a freaking thesis when I do that.
Yeah, I'm like I'm like a courtroom reporter. I'm like typing it live.
Yes, you're a stenographer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for your patience with the crazy schedules and the problems. And hopefully once July rolls around, everything will be great because we'll be together on the second day of July. And all will be lovely and fun and well. And then we'll just hopefully have a slight amount of chill and control over our lives again. But until then, just bear with us. We're doing our best. Make sure you keep sharing everything and following us and giving us the ratings and the reviews and the emails and all the things. And we love you guys so much. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, please, pretty please, just remember.
No spoilies. We appreciate you all so much. And we'll see you all in the next one.